The SoCal Sound Sessions are listener and member supported. Please consider becoming a subscribing member. Click subscribe now at the top of the SoCalSound.org and make sure to choose live sessions from the drop-down menu.
Hola, ¿qué tal, mi gente? Thank you so much for watching this bilingual sound session. On today's session, I am super, super happy to welcome Alex Cuba, who is a multi-Latin Grammy winner. He's also won a Grammy Award in 2022 for his album, Mendo. He's going to be performing a couple songs in the studio as well, along with his latest single, El Día Más Triste. But first, for those of you who haven't watched our sessions before, hi, I'm Byron Gonzalez. I'm Byron, the curator here, a DJ on the SoCal Sound, as well as the program director of Bilingual Sounds 88.5 HD3. You can stream the station from wherever you are online at bilingualsounds.org. We're a public radio station, and because we are a public radio station, your support really means the world to us. It is very much so appreciated. So thank you again for taking the time and watching our video. And please do not forget to subscribe to our channel, give a like to this video, and maybe leave a comment of one of your favorite Alex Cuba songs down below. So yes, without further ado, I have the amazing Alex Cuba here in studio. Thank you so much for being here.
My pleasure. Thanks so much for inviting me and having me here. It's wonderful to be here.
I'm very excited to get to know you. You have a long career. You've won many, many awards. But I want to know how it all kind of started for Alex Cuba. What was one of your first instruments?
Well, when I was around four years old, I somehow liked a Cuban instrument called claves. Mm. You know, those two pieces of wood that you play hitting one another, right? Mm-hmm. One with the other is kind of, I don't know, it's, for Cuban music, it's like kind of the heart of the music. You play using a pattern, and if you mess that pattern, you know, the band might shake behind you, you know. So I was 4 years old and playing this thing in front of one of my father's guitar orchestras that he had, like 24 kids playing guitars. And then when I was six, I started playing guitar. My father started teaching me how to play guitar from that point forward. And did that for many years until I was 14, that I changed to the electric bass, became a bass player. Somebody came through our town in Cuba, an orchestra from Havana, and they had a bass, an electric bass. And I saw that and I went, oh my God, what is that? And my dad said, you like that? I said, I love that. You need to get me one of those now. And he got, you know, he got me one. I was lucky. And I got going on the bass. And the rest is pretty much history. I came back to the guitar, of course, as I developed my singer-songwriter sort of act, you know, which happened mostly in Canada after I moved to Canada in 1999.
Oh, wow.
So it's been a few years.
Yeah.
Living now in the cold.
You're used to it now.
Completely, yes.
Now, I want to know, along that path, when you were like 6 to 14 to now, or when... Do you remember if there was a point where, like, I have to do music. I can't do anything else. I can't become a lawyer or a doctor. I need to do music.
What they call the point of no return.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes, I think I remember that. Although, also an answer that I always give, because people ask me, when did you decide to become a professional musician? Mm-hmm. And the truth is that I never decided. That decision was never made. I just follow my heart. You know, I just follow what I wanted to do, you know, and I don't know, maybe I've been lucky or something. I don't know. But, you know, the hard decision, telling myself, this is the only thing I'm going to do, I never did it.
Okay.
But it was around 14 when I started playing electric bass that I knew it was a calling. I knew.
Did you have other ideas for other careers, though? Was that ever in
Before your that, there was a time around 11, when I was around 11, that I kind of stopped doing music a little bit. I wasn't as interested. I got interested in lifting weight, you know, to become as big as Arnold Schwarzenegger. He was very famous back then.
Yeah.
And I remember doing that, you know, like kids of my generation, we were all doing that, right?
Yeah.
But also I was interested in becoming a doctor. For one reason, I wanted to become a surgeon. I fell in love with the, at school, not fell in love, but I kind of, it didn't gross me out dissecting birds and stuff like that.
Oh,
and,
interesting.
In the school, you know, and my top grades were in biology and things like that. So I said, yeah, I'm going to become a surgeon, I think. But then when I saw the bass and I started playing the bass and found myself a private teacher and all of that, that was it.
That was
I forgot everything else and went straight into music. And that was the point of no return.
That was great. Yeah. Do you remember the first song you ever wrote?
I kind of do.
Yeah.
It was pretty early though. I was maybe around 14, 15, around there. Yeah.
Did you record it?
No, I didn't have any smartphones back then.
Okay. That's true.
I think I have it somewhere in some old book. You know, something like diary or something like that. And sometimes the melody comes back to me, you know, if I read the lyrics and stuff like that. But yeah, it's as all of my music, or as most of my music, or I can say all, very melodic, you know, very melodic. And I always like metaphors in my, you know, I always like beauty in the lyrics to wake some senses. I'm a big fan of poetry, you know, and so my music sort of takes that on. You know, sometimes I try to be more direct, whatever the song wants to take me, brah. But yeah.
What do you think the 14-year-old Alex Puente would say to the now Alex Cuba and Motai?
Wow, that's a great question. I think the 14-year-old will say to Alex Cuba right now, hey, you are going to do something that you never thought you were going to be capable of doing. When I started to write songs, because the sound of my voice is not reminiscent of what we know in Cuba as traditional Cuban music. Mm. My father, for example, he wasn't sort of recognizing the qualities of my voice, and for me, he wasn't even considering me as somebody who could develop into becoming a singer. And he was like, oh no, don't sing, just keep playing the bass. And because I was very advanced playing the bass. At that point, I was like Jaco Pastorius fan, and you know, just slapping the bass and stuff. And my dad said, don't sing. I don't think you have a voice of a singer. But what he meant was that nothing that he was hearing from me was reminding him of anything Cuban.
Mm.
Which takes me to tell you that it blows my mind to think, when I think, you know, oh my God, did you see how far I went from a culture to become myself? It blows my mind because it makes me think, first of all, it makes me feel grateful, you know, that I took this step. And number two, it makes me feel, because it makes me feel that if I never did take that step, I would have never become Alex Cuba. I would have never become a singer. Well, as soon as I opened my mouth for the first time to sing in Canada, I had people crying around me without understanding the language.
Yeah.
So you tell me. God works in mysterious ways.
Yeah.
As they say, you know. Yeah.
And now you're 11 albums in and already working on a new one.
It's
amazing.
Since the pandemic, I took things to, you know, my own two hands. And what I mean by that is that I started recording myself, producing myself at home.
Mm.
I have a studio, but also playing all instruments on my albums, except the horns, you know. I do. This new album has horns. Mendo also had horns in it, and which is the Grammy winning album, which I recorded in my living room.
Really?
Yeah, because back then I didn't have the studio yet. Living so far north where I live, in British Columbia, Canada, for years I was thinking, I'd love to have a studio, but because it's so cold in the winter, if you have a studio, you better use it, because otherwise you're going to be wasting energy and money with something that you don't use, you know what I'm saying? So for years I was like, no, I like studio, but no. So for years I didn't have a studio. The pandemic hits, and then, look, I don't have a studio. Okay, let's record in the living room. And it was quite the trip, because I was like, hey, can you guys keep me a minute here? I just need to, to lay down one vocal. And And so right after I won the Grammy, I said, oh, come on, it's time for me to have a studio. So I turned my whole garage,
okay,
the back of my house, the whole thing into a studio with heated floors, you know, because the cold. It's a beautiful facility now. It's difficult now for my family to see me because I escaped there and spent my days.
But where's Alex?
Where's Alex? Oh, in the studio. Okay. But so, yeah, since then, I am recording myself everything and having a pretty good time, you know, an amazing time.
So you just released a new single, El Día Más Triste. So this new single was recorded.
Absolutely, yeah.
Was it recorded in the cold or in the summer?
I think it was recorded during the cold, you know. Okay. The cold of, it might have been November last year when I recorded it.
Okay, very cold.
It was starting to get cold already. And yeah, but perfect conditions. Perfect, because the song is, you know, intimate. The song is, you know, slow. And so perfect conditions for it. You don't want to be too happy and sunny. Once you don't record anything, you know. Yeah. I go to Miami, for example, and the last thing I want to do is to work.
Yeah.
I'm like, man, it must be challenging for these people here to work. Because it's sunny every day. It's like you can go right down to the beach right there. You can have fun. But in Smithies, I mean, in countries like Canada, when the winter hits, you know, it's dark. We have very few hours of light.
Oh, okay.
So what is my defense mechanism? Work. Record. Yeah. Write music. It keeps me alive.
That's great. Well, let's get into El Día Más Triste right now in the studio.
Right on.
Let's do it.
Thank you.
Here's Alex Cuba with his latest single, El Día Más Triste.
El silencio me ha visto desnudar los rincones más tiernos de mi alma. Ignorar la alegría y sentir que de pronto todo me hace falta. Intenté y no he podido desmentir las razones que niegan mi calma. Me viraste la espalda, eso no se lo haría ni al peor de mis enemigos. ¿Será que la vida nos engaña? Confunde, no nos deja entender, jugando las cartas en el alma. Es amor. Siempre habrá una manera de evitar la tristeza en el día más triste. Si mañana quisieras, ojalá que tú entiendas las cosas que hiciste. Yo no he sido egoísta, solo te he dicho aquello que hoy necesitas. Ay, se hace duro el camino, porque pesa en mis hombros que nos hemos malentendido. ¿Será que la vida nos engaña? Confunde, no nos deja entender, jugando las cartas en el alma. Paciencia, tal vez un año. será que la vida nos engaña? Jugando las cartas en el alma.
Ahí estamos. El día más triste, tu nuevo sencillo. It's a beautiful song. Although many people know you for like upbeat music, right. How did this song come about? ¿Y qué te puso tan triste?
Me encantó la pregunta. ¿Qué te puso tan triste? Well, yo creo que I think the pandemic sort of brought out in a lot of us, in a lot of people, a lot of things that we might have been buried, you know, inside of our minds, inside of our souls, and the pandemic, for whatever reason, brought it, you know, brought it up back to the surface. That has made us a lot more sensitive, I think, as humans. Mm-hmm. And then it becomes a challenge, you know, the means of communications that we have these days, like texts, WhatsApp, all of that. It's very easy for people to all of a sudden misunderstand each other using that type of communication. And I see more and more people that are breaking relationships, you know, over a text, you know, because they didn't, you know, something wasn't expressed the right way or whatever, you know. I think that has made us also, even though we have all kinds of means of communications, like I said, I think people are lonelier than ever. I think. And so I am also in the middle of that. It had happened to me as well, of that. And one day I was meditating about that and I was sad, you know, in a way, because I just lost a friend and things like that. So I started writing a song and that's what came out. And then I was faced with the idea of like what you just mentioned, you know, because people know me for the uplifting, for always happy.
Yeah.
And then I was wrestling in my mind, I'm not going to hide it from you. With that, it's like, should I put this out? Because, man, it's quite the shift, you know, in a way. People know me for somebody very lifting, very positive, very optimistic. What should I do? Okay. And then I came to realize that, the song is not completely on the sad or I don't know, cortavenas, well, as we say. It's got some optimism in there, you know, and especially on the phrase when I say, ¿qué importa quien tenga razón? O sea, un alto al fuego, yo no creo que importa quien tenga razón. O sea, that's the optimism, is to realize that in the end, being forgiven is what counts, you know, it's what makes us keep going, you know, it was makes us growing our souls and find peace.
That's beautiful. Know?
And so that's what made me put the song out, you know, and start and I was put it on the album, and then release it as the first single because I knew that even though it's got some sadness in it, it also has some optimism. And then of course I realized it's not that I realized is I started all of a sudden feeling that it was a necessary step for me. To expose that side of myself as well, as a human being, you know.
Yeah, and then as human beings, there's always the happy and then the sad.
Yeah,
they have to balance.
They coexist. For years, I was on my third album or something, and I started realizing, holy man, people are gonna start thinking that I am always high or something because. All the music that I always put out is always, hey, baby, I love it, yeah. Party, which is great, you know? And then I saw Manu Chao on an interview somewhere and say he was recognizing that for him, it was harder to write music when he was happy.
Okay.
Because when he was happy, he wasn't in a musical state, he was just having fun. But whenever he was upset or depressed or whatever, he will write a song and that would be like therapy to him, you know? For me, it happened in many years the opposite. When I was upset or sad or frustrated or something, I hated music. Like, with all of my soul.
Really?
I don't like music when it's done. If you give me a guitar, I will smash it on the floor or, you know, set it up on fire, because it's no. You know, as soon as I was happy, a million songs coming my way.
Oh, so you're the opposite.
I'm like, whoa, what is this? And so when seeing that interview made me embrace who I was, you know, and forget the idea that maybe people were thinking that I was always high or something. You know, because I don't do any drugs or anything.
Yeah.
But I smoke a Cuban cigar here and there and a little whiskey or something, but no drugs. So this album has made me walk a different line, and I'm kind of happy about that. There is a few songs on the album. I find this album as the most existentialist of mine.
Oh, that's cool to see Alex Cuba in that.
Yes, okay. Yes. And I think people are going to appreciate that a lot, because it's once you find that path in comfort, I mean, you're comfortable putting it out, say, okay, I also think this way.
Yeah.
I think I'm appealing more to the humanity of things, you know. And,
yeah.
And people are going to, yeah. Well, at least I hope so.
Well, as a listener, you know, when we like an artist and we see that they do put out a lot of happy music and then they throw a sad song out, we listen to it because we're like, okay, let's see what this person that's always happy has to say about this type of feeling.
Though I want to make something sure and clear over here, okay, right now.
Yeah.
I didn't lose my wife. She's with me. We are very happily together.
Yeah.
All of that, okay?
Yes.
I don't want anybody out there thinking, what happened to Alex?
Yeah. But you're a human and you have these
absolutely
feelings.
Yes. Absolutely.
The listeners, we have these feelings too. And
that
so,
was just a joke. Something just occurred to me, actually, because the name of the show is Bilingual Sounds.
Yes.
You know, I joke a lot about that on the stage because, you know, having been trained in Canada where there is hardly no Spanish.
Uh-huh.
I have to develop things on the stage. And one of the things that I do, for example, on a song of mine, that I repeat the melody of the verses, but just like, you know, humming them. As soon as I go, it's on the song, Concentrica Canción, you know, like, la, 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 I said to the people, it is a bilingual chorus. Let's sing it. You know.
That's
so
great.
It speaks to me the sound of your show because of that. I use that a lot. In some cases, making fun of the fact that I am singing music for an audience that doesn't understand what I'm talking about, but it's still communicating at a human level and a soul level. And I love that. I conduct the show in English, but everything I sing is in Spanish. And I'm very grateful to face an audience that doesn't understand what I'm. For me, it's like it's even more beautiful. It's let's rock this, you know, and let's make it go further.
And that they're open to it, right?
Yes. Absolutely.
They're like, oh, Spanish? I don't know that language, but I'll listen.
It's been the story of my life, actually. My career has put itself together in Canada. You know, it's I joke about it. I said that if you get trained in Canada, you're ready to take over the world, any stage.
That's cool.
Any stage, because Canada. People have a different way to express what they feel. They're a lot more, you know, polite, and they don't want to scream or whatever. I just played in Portland 2 nights ago, and the minute I walked on stage, people were screaming. I received standing ovation that lasted for like 2 minutes.
Wow.
And I'm like, all right, I'm not going to play the show now. Bye. It's beautiful.
That's
and then
awesome.
At the end, the same thing. So, but you hardly see that in Canada, you know. It's but they do love you. Once you communicate and get to them, you know.
That's amazing. Let's take a little break. Let's get into the other song that you recorded for us, Hoy Como Ayer, from your album Sublime.
Yeah.
Bilingual.
Thank you. Exactly. Yeah.
Let's get into it and then we'll come back.
Thank you.
Here's Alex Cuba with Hoy Como Ayer.
miro al infinito para descubrir el pacto de mi ser con el universo. Hoy como ayer no ha existido el tiempo, porque sigo siendo el mismo soñador de las estaciones. Y vuelvo a amar así, sin esconder quién soy, sin prisa ni temor, sin culpa ni traición. Baila como lo hace la esperanza, alcanza el grito que resuena en mi garganta. Ella es el centro de mi sol, la razón por la que hoy me quedan ganas, me quedan ganas. Ella me despierta en la mañana, en su versión más natural y delicada. Ella es el centro de mi sol, corazón por el que hoy me quedan ganas. Hoy como ayer, se nos brinda el miedo cuando desnudamos la felicidad en cada momento. Quizás mañana quedarán palabras para enamorar nuestros sentimientos. Y vuelvo a amar así, sin esconder quién soy, sin prisa ni temor, sin culpa ni traición. Baila como lo hace la esperanza, alcanza el grito que resuena en mi garganta. Ella es el centro de mi sol, la razón por la que hoy me quedan ganas, me quedan ganas. Ella me despierta en la mañana, en su versión más natural y delicada. Ella es el centro de mi sol, corazón por el que hoy me quedan ganas. Hoy como ayer, hoy como ayer.
Hey, it's Matt Blake here, Director of Digital Broadcast. Just jumping in, if you're enjoying the SoCal Sound Sessions, it means that you already love what the SoCal Sound does. So there's no better way to stay informed than signing up for the SoCal Sound email newsletter. Get the inside scoop on station events, ticket giveaways, and pre-sale opportunities. And it's so easy. You just go to thesocalsound.org, go to the top, and sign up for the email newsletter. Again, go to thesocalsound.org and sign up for the email newsletter. It's so easy. And while you're there, maybe consider becoming a subscribing member. thesocalsound.org.
That's Hoy Como Ayer by Alex Cuba from his album Sublime. And right here, thank you again for performing that song. It's so great to see you perform and your guitar and just like how you move your face and sing the words. It's amazing.
I was very lucky that I got, on the album, that song is a duet with Pablo Milanes.
Yes.
Which is one of our, one of Cuba's most important singer-songwriters ever, who did so much for the genre of, singer-songwriter. I never got to meet him. We recorded together because of technology. I mean, he did his part in Spain. Mm. And the day he did it, I was in Mexico, actually. I was on tour in Mexico. And the engineer in Spain is a friend of mine, the engineer that recorded him. And so when they were done, he got Pablo with me on WhatsApp video. And I was like, oh my God, I'm talking to Pablo Milanes right here. He said something to me that I will never forget in my life. He passed away now since, but he said to me, you know what, I love the song, and you can tell when you listen to it, because he gave me his heart. He sounds incredible in there. The song spoke to him. He was in the studio 2 hours before the time he was supposed to be there, with the lyrics, under his arm in the folder, and he was ready to do it. I am so proud of that and so grateful. But he said to me, I love the song. I'm so happy you invited me to sing it with you. And also, I am grateful that you invited me to sing it with you, because I have to tell you something. It's up to your generation to make sure that this style of music keeps going. Mm. It's very much threatened right now. It's very much in danger. Mm. A man in a guitar, making it interesting, singing his heart for people. It depends on your generation to keep it going. So I took that like, whoa, for me, that's like God talking to me right there.
Yeah.
And I will treasure that in my heart. So every night on the stage, every successful show that I play, that I leave audiences wanting more, and Paulo comes to my mind,
Wow, that's really beautiful, yeah. To keep anything alive that is, like even language, keeping Spanish alive here in the States is kind of the same thing, And that's why I feel proud to have musicians like yourself that sing in Spanish, that I'm able to present it to an American audience, you know what I mean?
Yes, I am. I'm big on that. I'm very big on that, because I think. I think we as an immigrant community, have a lot to go, and of course, we as a collective, humans, we still have to go in the understanding of different cultures and creating spaces for growing, because the natural thing for a human brain is to be afraid of what they don't know. I think that's very human, that's very natural. But yeah, how about move forward knowing that and open yourself up, to get to know. But what I mean, and something that I am huge about and I don't get tired about talking is that also the responsibility of the immigrants, if you're coming into a country, it's never going to be like the country you left behind, number one. So you don't have to look for it. You could open yourself up to new and start adding that to your mind, expanding your mind. Because it's also sad in a way when somebody emigrates, let's say that the country is not really opening the arms of the person, so the person is obligated to do it that way. Canada is not that way. Canada opens, you will never feel that somebody will tell you in public, hey, you are not allowed to speak Spanish here or something like that, Will never happen, right, there. Let me knock on wood. But yeah, I feel that from the immigrant's point of view, it's also important for you not to corner yourself. Mm-hmm. Because if the more you corner yourself, the less you get to experience the country the way you are, and the less you get to actually grow, and the less you actually get to understand the people of the country where you are. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And the more you're gonna keep looking for the differences rather than the similarities. Mm-hmm. Because at the end of the day, the common denominator is humanity. We are all the same.
Yeah.
You speak in a different language than that I know, but we are human. You do the same things that I do.
Yep.
You know, in a lot of ways. So it is important for us to get to a new country and get to know the country. I am completely integrated in Canada, completely mm-hmm. integrated at the same time that I haven't lost my culture.
Yeah.
And why I haven't lost my culture? Because I know that it's inside of me. It's so deep inside of me that I don't have to become so close that then I, because the culture on the country where you are doesn't stop where you left it. It keeps moving.
Keep moving.
So wherever if you lock yourself up to say, no, I'm not going to lose my culture, you are old to the people that you left behind. So you might as well embrace where you are. And when you go back to your country, maybe you have something to teach them.
Yeah.
In my case, people want to sound like me in Cuba, for example. Because I never held on to a sound that is Cuban, because I knew that that sound was going to, that the world know as Cuban, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Because I know that if I do that, by the time I send my music back to Cuba, my music is all there. So I said, let me embrace who I am and where I am at the moment. Life and I mean, art is the expression of the moment in time and space where you are. So why hold on to a nostalgia? I need to do it the way we used to do it. That's not a recipe for creativity. That's not a recipe for unity. That's not for unity. I mean, and I hope that people understand me, because I know and the reasons why we emigrate, they're also important. I emigrated because of love, because of my wife. So I could have gone to the Siberia, to the Patagonia. I could have gone anywhere and still be happy because I was with the woman that I wanted to be, right? Yeah. But when you emigrate for reasons that, you know, economic reasons, or because they are going to kill you in your country or whatever, you need to escape, you're a refugee, most likely you never get used to where you go because you were
forced
to leave your country. And I feel bad, you know, for the lot of people that have emigrated that way. But it's important to make the effort. Make the effort to get to love and know where you are. That's the only way you're going to find peace.
Yeah.
If you can do that.
So. And evolve as a person, as a human being.
Absolutely.
Take in with it. And then you, to transition to this next song that you're about to play, you can always do a better understanding of where you are and who you are with friends, right?
Absolutely.
So.
Absolutely, yeah. So and now we can have friends all over the world, you know?
Yeah. and take with, from their cultures and their coaches and their mannerisms, everything. So
definitely the world is not as close anymore to only one culture.
Yeah.
If you only see the world in monoculture, you better prepare a house in the middle of nowhere for yourself.
Yeah. You know? So let's get into this next song that is from your self-titled album, Como Amigos. Let's
Thank do you. It.
This is Alex Cuba, Como Amigos.
La noche sin luna, oscura de tu mirar, la brisa, fortuna del parque sin caminar. Las luces del día descubren mi soledad. Sin ningún regreso me he perdido inventando.
That was Alex Cuba with Como Amigos here for Bilingual Sound Sessions. Gracias otra vez por tocar estas lindas canciones para nosotros.
Placer.
I do want to talk about your upcoming album that you're working on. The title is Índole.
Yeah.
I was trying to look it up, what the word means, and it seems like it has a lot of meanings. But yeah, for Alex Cuba, what does Índole mean?
Well, it means my true self, my nature. You know, within those lines around there. Weirdly enough, I have a title way before the album is out.
Oh, really?
Because usually it's the title, the last thing that I find, you know.
Yeah.
It's so difficult for me to title my albums, maybe because of the nature of my music, which is very diverse from song to song. Nothing sounds the same.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's always kind of interesting for me to find the right title. But for whatever reason, I think there is one strong element happening on this album. And that strong element, I call it Afro-Latinism. The song has a lot of that, a lot of, you know, maybe Afro-Cuban, Afro-Colombia, Afro-Dominican, Afro-Mexican, even, you know, you name it.
Yeah.
And so the Afro-Latinism is, I think, is the main thing. And that gets me to, that's where the Índole thing came from. You know, the Índole of the way music is done, the way, and, you know, with that in mind, right? How rhythm reach throughout the whole continent, you know, Afro-America is, you know. If it wasn't for Africa in America, I don't know what music would be, what Latin music would be, you know?
Yeah, that's true. I know there's a lot of influence, and the world wouldn't be what we
absolutely
have it now.
Absolutely.
Without.
If Africa was to ask for royalties, you know,
rich country,
we'd lead the whole world without money. At least the music industry completely,
yeah,
no money.
Absolutely, I totally
agree with that. So many people are using dembo.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so many artists, yeah, you know, throughout the world.
Even country music.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So,
people forget that.
Absolutely.
And so with the name already set in stone before you started working on the album, did the name influence the songs a lot?
No, actually. Or maybe I can say that reinforce. Mm. Once, because I got the name like halfway through working on the album.
Oh, okay.
And that's, I guess that's influence, as you can say. It sort of gave me, made the path more clear and emphasize. It made me emphasize that, you know, the richness on, you know, not hold back on that, on rhythm, on that sort of vibe and groove, you know, make it very groovy and yeah, yeah.
Maybe you already mentioned this, but what excites you more about this upcoming album?
That is a great question. I think it's definitely very special because, like I said at the beginning, I'm talking about things that I never spoke about before in my music, and that makes it very special, I think. But also, I think the songs of this album, the melodies, they're really, really exciting for me, yeah. And I think I managed to be more essential to every song, you know, on every song. More direct, more, it's almost like, you know, every time around I filter myself a little bit,
mm-hmm.
you know, like, what do you call those, you know, to filter yourself.
Like a coffee filter type.
Yes.
Yeah.
And that, what I mean by that is that you learn in the process, you know. And the aim and the goal is to every time around is to have a better version of me. And I think this one is taking like 3 steps ahead.
That's amazing.
Into that sort of filtering process.
Amazing. I'm very excited.
So I'm happy.
So we're nearing the end of the session. Let's get into this last song that comes from your Grammy Award winning album,
Mendo.
I was going to say,
funny, you just reminded me something. And I'm used to taking on the spot because the stage is like that. The nature of art, you know, of the nature of performing is like that. If something goes wrong on stage, you need to be able to rock.
Switch it, yeah.
So the day I got the Grammy, I didn't go because I was performing with an orchestra in BC in Canada. Mm-hmm. But I saw the somebody sent me the video because I was driving when that happened. And the guy that was chosen to, do the category, present the category, right? Mm-hmm. Didn't spoke a word in Spanish.
Oh, really?
So he's there, he said, and the Latin Grammy for best Latin pop album 20 goes to Alice Cooper, Menduno. he called it Menduno.
Menduno.
To say Mendo.
Mendo.
And I heard, actually, that the night he butchered the name of, I'm sure it wasn't intentional, but yeah. of Vicente Rodriguez, Vicente Fernandez, que Dios lo tenga la gloria, super mega estrella mexicana, yeah. who got a Grammy, you know, after, you know, like after having recently to that date died, he got a Grammy, they have to take the video down from YouTube because he butchered his name. No. Wasn't only that. He said, did he make it here tonight? Is he here? And the guy was... That shit happens, man. You got to understand that.
Pues, wow, that's funny. I didn't realize that. Dang.
That was big, man.
Dang. Pues, aquí vamos, entremos a la última canción de la sesión. Here is...
Amor en la distancia.
Amor en la distancia from your Grammy Award winning album.
No sé si has escuchado la versión de Marc Anthony.
No.
Marc Anthony la grabó, le hizo una versión en salsa.
Oh, órale.
Yeah, sí.
We'll get that soon in the future. Oh, vale. Ahí vamos. Alex Cuba, Amor en la distancia. ¡Au!
Voy acostumbrándome y ya no sé por qué a lo que pueda hacer cuánto extraño tu alma. He visto el atardecer pegándome en la piel sin poderte tener y yo pierdo la calma. Voy a retomar la fe si es lo que debo hacer por ti todo lo haré porque tú me haces falta. No es fácil de lejos querer, no es fácil sostener la vida y la balanza. Y espérame que ahí voy, yo voy a rescatar tu calma. Y ya no habrá dolor, ya no habrá dolor, habrá solo esperanza. Y aunque el mundo cambió, en mí no cambió nada. Fuiste mi religión, fuiste mi salvación, amor en la distancia. Hoy con ganas desperté, anoche yo soñé que te podía tener y que tenías alas. Oh. Intenté atarme a tus pies como sabes querer. Yo no sabía qué hacer, corrí y caminaba. Caminaba. Voy a retomar mi fe si es lo que debo hacer. Por ti todo lo haré porque tú me haces falta. Ah, yeah. No es fácil de lejos querer, no es fácil sostener la vida y la balanza. Y espérame que ahí voy, yo voy a rescatar tu calma. Y ya no habrá dolor, ya no habrá dolor, habrá solo esperanza. Y aunque el mundo cambió, en mí no cambió nada. Fuiste mi religión, fuiste mi salvación, amor en la distancia. Y espérame que ahí voy, yo voy. rescatar tu calma. Y ya no habrá dolor, ya no habrá dolor. Ahora solo esperanza. Y aunque el mundo cambió, el mundo cambió, en mí no cambió nada. Fuiste mi religión, fuiste mi salvación, amor en la distancia, amor en la distancia, amor en la distancia. Amor en la distancia, ¿qué dice? Amor en la distancia, amor en la distancia, ¿qué dice usted? Amor en la distancia.
Y ahí vamos, the last song of the session, Amor en la Distancia, from his Grammy Award winning album, Mendo. We got Alex Cuba. Muchas gracias otra vez por venir hasta Northridge y hablar conmigo y presentarlos estas canciones lindísimas.
Ha sido un placer, ha sido un placer. Me he sentido como en casa, perfect, hablando francamente, sin, muy, muy cómodo. Muchas gracias por la pauta y...
Por supuesto.
Por tenerme aquí.
Gracias. Pues aquí te deseo un buen viaje, an amazing tour. I hope everything goes well. And then I'm looking forward to the new album, the new songs that are coming out.
Sounds good.
I'm very, thanks, very happy to see what you're going to show us about Alex Cuba that we haven't seen before.
Sounds good.
Pues ahí estamos.
That's no pressure.
No pressure. Alex Cuba here for Bilingual Sound Sessions. Thank you again for listening and watching. If you haven't done so already, subscribe, leave a comment. What was your favorite single? Or what was your favorite song of the session? And give us a like. So thank you, Alex Cuba. Thanks for being here. Ahí estamos.
Pleasure.
Hey, un gusto.
Thank you.
To me. Ahí vamos.
The SoCal Sound Sessions are produced by 88.5 The SoCal Sound. Session hosted by Byron Gonzalez. Audio recorded and mixed by Tristan Dolce. Edited by Matt Blake. The SoCal Sound is a public service of California State University Northridge and Saddleback College. Streaming on the web at thesocalsound.org.